Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Tropfen's been raining off my cup. And pink via deckables is the kleine farbeim top. Gate me pains a flint. The tropfen.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I am your host, Judy Gold, and this week we have part two of my conversation with Gabe Dunn, which is fascinating and interesting, like all of my interviews. What a week it's been. I have to tell you, first of all, I had to pick up Elisa from her colonoscopy, and she was miserable for 2 days with the... I mean, the prep is really, you have to get it done, but the prep is ridiculous. Okay. So that was on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday last week, we went to see the most amazing, incredible, wonderful play of Prayer for the French Republic. And it's closing in March, but if you're in the New York area, it's amazing. The acting, the writing, the story, it's just incredible and so important. It's very today. You know what I mean? It really resonates on what's going on in the world today. Then we did, I did the Sherry Show, which was a lot of fun. They're doing 50 over 50, which is women comedians who are over 50 competing. I mean, I hate the competition part, but I really loved it. I love that she's building up women over 50. You know, one of the comics who was performing, the second one who actually won, they were both great. But the second one had a harder spot. But when she got there, the thing around the mic, you know, that says Sherry, it kind of fell and she had a mishap and she made it funny. She said, oh no, I'll buy you a new one. But that to me was the defining moment, was that she had a harder spot and she got them. She ended up getting them, and she ended up dealing with something that happened in the moment. So that for us, really. But they were both fantastic. So that's fun. And I love Sherry Shepherd. And then we, of course, we went to Ben's games. And I have to tell you, the Bates game. So they played against Bates. And last year, someone at the Bates game yelled something anti-Semitic to Ben, and he complained. And we were supposed to go to the Bates game, but Ben had, you know, hurt himself with his roommates playing around with a knife, like ridiculous. He's like, I don't know how much I'm going to play. And of course, he played the whole time. So I wish we had gone. But by the time he told us, it was too late to get to fucking Maine. So they were, we watched on the stream, and they were, the Bates fans were screaming, fuck Trinity. They yelled really disgusting things about, you know, horrible, horrible. I didn't hear anything specifically homophobic or anti-Semitic, but when I asked, they said it was everything. It was everything. So, you know, Bates, you're disgusting. And Williams was really very, also very awful, yelling shit at the team. And I just don't understand it. And Henry's like, that's college basketball. And I'm like, it's obnoxious and rude, and they were yelling stuff at Bates that you would get kicked out of an NBA game for, and no one did anything. So I might be Ruth Gold, my mother, and write a letter or an email, because it's not right. It happened last year and again this year, and it's disgusting. But they beat them, and then we went to Tufts, and they won again. But the best part at Tufts, they, you know, they also yell, but they yelled at Ben, you have too many moms, and your mom's not funny, which made me laugh so much. Like, he's shooting a foul shot, and they're like, your mom's not funny. And I'm like, I didn't hear it, but Ben told me afterwards. And I thought, oh, my God, that's hilarious. So I might name my tour. Someone suggested it on Instagram. My next tour will be Your Mom's Not Funny. And then last year we there was a call the ref made, and Elisa was like, that wasn't, you know, I don't know. She yelled something, and one of the dads, this is a Tufts dad, was like, oh, you girls, blah, blah, you know. And I turned around. I said, what did you say? You know, like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Don't call us girls. And he said, who's your barber? Because my hair was like out of control. And I said, who's my barber? Who's your therapist? What are you, 12? And he shut the hell up. What is with these parents acting like fucking two-year-olds? The whole thing is, I just can't, we don't do that at Trinity. It's just awful, awful. So the worst offenders are Trinity, I'm sorry, the worst offenders, Bates, Williams, and then I'll go a little, Tufts is a little, you know. But they're these guys that can't play, and they just taunt people, and it's just so obnoxious, and it's, you know, bullying. It's it just pushes my buttons, because I was a bullied kid, and it's just like, shut the fuck up, look at you. Anyway, so that's that. So we don't know what's happening as far as where we're going, if we're going to, you know, Fort Wayne is with the NCAA tournament. We don't know anything. So it's like my career. But I'm so happy they rescued two hostages. God bless them. Unfortunately, we also lost some soldiers in the Israeli army, young people. It's just, the whole thing is just awful. Just the dying and the whole thing's horrible. But, you know, we're going to survive. The anti-Semitism is through the fucking roof, and it's ridiculous. So that's that. I hope you enjoy, which you have to enjoy, part two of my conversation with Gabe Dunn. And just sit back and relax, and I'll talk to you after. There's a bunch of things I want to get to. I want to talk about your trans journey. Sure. As an LGBTQ plus person.
Sure.
I love the things that you've
you've said about it, but, you know, just for people, I'm in the community.
Yeah.
I know trans people.
Mm.
I'm a lesbian. I was out when most people weren't out, but
yeah.
And I know you are very into, as I am, representation and not, yeah. And how important that is. But I think a lot of people, I'm, as I mentioned, 61, but I look 40. A lot of people, even in my community.
Yeah.
Don't get it.
Yeah.
And I talk about it, you know, in my act, you know, I try to explain. You're not changing your sexuality. You're changing your gender. Like, I know what it's like to be in the closet as a lesbian. I know what it's like to deal with the AIDS. I know what it's like to not be able to tell anyone because you could get fired, because you could not get an apartment, because you, you know, whatever, all that stuff. I lived through, you know, AIDS, all that. Mm-hmm. But to be in the wrong body, I mean,
it's hard because it's like kind of nuanced because a lot of people who do transition, their sexuality does change.
Yes.
Maybe because they feel more comfortable to explore, or they feel like, okay, now I can sort of, because there's like maybe a misunderstanding where they think, oh, it must be that I'm a lesbian. And then they realize, no,
right.
It just meant that, like, you know, what's the path of least resistance, I guess, to be a lesbian, which is kind of funny. But no, I remember, I mean, look, I remember you being out when I was young. I remember, and not to say what your experience was, but I'm sure that was detrimental to your career. I'm sure
Absolutely.
That it was,
yeah.
You know, not, I think a lot about the people who were out when I was younger, like you, Leah Delaria, Scott Thompson, you know, like all these people who kind of were out at this time. And I think the younger generation does not appreciate or know about the people that are around you and Scott and Leah's age or whatever, the other people, like, I don't think they take into account that it was hostile and like not great. And, you know, I think sometimes there's this expectation of people to understand all the new stuff that's going on, or not even new, because obviously people were trans or there was always gender nonconforming. You know, there's Lou Sullivan, there's Marsha P. Johnson, you know, all these people who were always that way. But there's definitely more visibility from people who paved the way. And I think sometimes there's this unwillingness to understand that I can understand someone getting their hackles up by being like, okay, well, I did all this stuff and it was like hard for me. And then I think there's like a writing off of people who, I mean, I'm like, you can't even begin to understand the AIDS crisis and the way it was handled. And so I think there's kind of a flippant thing where, and that results in a reaction to that, which is, well, fuck you then.
Right.
I don't understand your gender.
First of all, I want to say thank you.
Oh, of course.
Because I'm not one, you know, who's like, oh, I did, you know, I paid for the, I'm not that person. I do think there is this willful ignorance about our history. And also, I see in a lot of young, you know, gay and lesbian and bi, not trans, people that there's this sense of entitlement. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
I know.
What it was like. And it wasn't that long ago. And, you know, and that's where I'm like, hey, you're on the wrong side. Do your due diligence. Learn your history.
I mean,
learn how we got to this place.
I think that there's a, like, say what you want about Ellen DeGeneres, but like that was crazy. And also, like, Laura Dern almost lost her career for being in that episode. Like, there's no, like, we were talking about this with someone yesterday, the concept of being out in high school. And I was like, I often refer to it as pre-Glee, It was a pre-Glee era where people yeah. were not out in high school. Some people were. Some people definitely were. One of my exes was. My boyfriend now was out in high school. But, like, to me, that was unthinkable. And so, like, I do think that there's a butting of heads, particularly with people that are trans and gender nonconforming with LGB older people. And
right.
And so for me, it's like, okay, there's a lot of nuance. Yeah, but, like, you're not like,
yeah,
I think
it comes from both directions. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I don't think I was born in the wrong body. I think also gender and sexuality are intrinsically linked sometimes. I think sometimes for trans people, we are so concerned with coming off perfect. Like, well, gender and sexuality are very different. And also, like, this is my clear narrative. I was born in the wrong body and I knew when I was very young, and this is like, I'm never having doubts and I'm very sure. And like, because if you say you have doubts, they're going to take your healthcare away. If you say anything less than the perfect trans narrative, they're not going to let you transition and they're going to make laws against you. So there is this push to be like, well, I'm always very sure and I've never, which I relate back to the perfection that queer people, that LGB people needed to have in order to gain marriage. Because
right.
you needed to act like, I'm not slutty. I don't have AIDS. I'm very right. perfect. I just want to be with one person for the rest of my life. All we want is Christian normative people. Like, yeah. how do you,
you know what's, thought? I love you saying that because, you know, when I came out as a gay parent and I talked about what it was like, you mm-hmm. know, having kids and all the shit people said, you know, and I've said this before, I came out because I had a child, mm-hmm. But it was precisely because of him that it made it easier for me because it was a way to get in where people could relate.
Oh, relate.
And so that's
like she just wants to have a child just like me.
Right, right.
This element of queerness that's like, we're just like you. We're just like you. Like, see, I'm trans.
That's why Pete Buttigieg and Chase. Yeah. Pete Buttigieg and Chase didn't annoy me with that. Like, we're just, you know, they're like, you know, we're just making the eggs and trying to get the kids off to school. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm talking in a Southern accent, but I feel like saying I did that 30 years ago. I had mm-hmm. that narrative 30 years ago to get in, you know, and let you know we exist. Our families are intact, are, you know, mm-hmm. but I love what you're saying. You went from bisexual, you identified as bisexual first, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when did you realize I'm bisexual?
Oh my God, I don't know. I was like 12.
Yeah, right. Right when you go through puberty.
Yeah, well, I saw the play Rent and mm-hmm. I was like, I want to be Maureen so bad. And it's kind of funny because I really related to Mark. I loved Anthony yeah. Rapp as Mark. I loved that character. I was like, I'm yeah. Mark. When we would dress up with our friends as the characters, I was always Mark. I wanted to be Mark. But then when it came to like the Mark and Joanne both being obsessed with Maureen, I was like, well, I gotta be Maureen. I love it. And also she was like kind of fun and self-centered. And like, I used to do this bit when I did stand up where I was like, The hard truth is when you think that you're a Liz Lemon, but it turns out you're a Jenna Maroney. Like, right. I would always be like, oh, you think you're Liz, but you're actually right. like this kind of flighty name droppy dum dum. But but I saw that and I loved her and I loved Idina Menzel. Oh my God, I loved her. I was obsessed with her.
Yeah.
And like, so I would have these things. I was like to my parents, I was like, how did you not know? I had a full page poster of Lindsay Lohan in a bikini. The picture of her where she's got her hair. She's like, I'm sure the gays know. It's like a very right. iconic photo of her. And I was like, I had that up in my room. And they were right. like, yeah, when we would ask, you would say she's a really good actress. Is she? But, but so ridiculous. But they were like, but you also had posters of guys. And I was like, yeah, like Seth Meyers. Like, are you kidding? But anyway, so, so I mean, I would identify with these guys who were a little bit like effeminate. And so I wanted to be Maureen, but I looked back, it's kind of funny. So that's where I learned the word bisexual was in Rent. But I looked back at, a friend of mine found these letters that I had written her in middle school, she was at summer camp and I had, or I was at camp and I was sending her letters and she sent me, she was like, oh my God. And she sent them to me and I was legitimate, like they were funny, but I was also legitimately gagged because I thought I was so closeted. And also I thought there were no gender giveaways. There was no gender anything. And I sound so fucking gay in these, I can't believe I was like, oh, I'm so closeted. No, I like literally write about having a crush on Emma Watson. Don't ever consider that. I'm like, LOL, what a joke. Or like, there's one part that I was genuinely like, so taken aback by where I'm talking about not liking someone. And I was like, I want to tell him to suck my, I want to have a cock just so I could tell him to suck my cock. What the fuck? What?
You identify as bi.
Yeah.
Your pair, I love when you say, how did you not know? Like, that's the same. I was the same way. Like, hello. But my, you know, it's funny because my brother, who I wasn't that close with growing up, but now, you know, once your parents are dead, then, you know, and my sister was shocked. And I'm like, and I mean, I had boys' names. I was like, call me Ringo, call me Robert. Yes. I was like, I had my hair really. Yes. Sure. I mean, I wanted, whatever. I
but
never
it manifested
wanted to,
for people as me being boy crazy. Because I was like obsessed with Michael J. Fox, which when I found out Back to the Future was an old movie and he was a grown up, devastating. I would say, oh, well, you guys should call me Michael J. Fox because I love him. But like people would just be like, oh, Gabe's boy crazy.
Right.
And there wasn't really any knowledge of gender. So they'd be like, oh, Gabe just wants us to call Michael J. Fox because he loves Michael J. Fox. Yeah.
I have to say that, you know, this generation, your generation has helped me identify that I'm not binary. I didn't have the, you know, like people are always like the words. And it's like, oh, right. I have always been non-binary. I don't want, I'm not, when I see a bunch of girls.
Yeah.
I have nothing in common, like, you know, in their skirts and their,
it's all
not
like
even
gender performance being tied to sexuality, which there are butch women who are like, it's how you feel, but like gender and gender presentation are sort of divorced from each other. And also it's interesting because one of the big moments for me of feeling like something gendery was going on was similar where we were like at a restaurant, a bunch of us, and the waiter came over and he was like, what can I get you ladies? And I was like, who the fuck is he talking to? Ladies?
Right.
What ladies?
Yeah. And it's, and it's a him, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
I used to do a joke where I was like, whenever people are like, oh, you used to be a lady. Like when, and I'm like, no, I was a woman. I was never a lady.
Yeah, I was never a lady either.
Yeah,
I was a cunt.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV. And I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV, and I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold, and it keeps me hydrated, and it's delicious. So thank you, liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying, you know what I'm talking about, and it has helped her immensely with her dehydration, that it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
So when did you know, I need to transition? I need to, can you just talk a little bit about that journey of, you know, because there, when you are in our community, there are a lot of, okay. You
it
know,
it was like little moments. It was all these little moments. And then like looking back too, like wanting to be called, you know, Michael J. Fox and being obsessed with Niles from Frasier. Every guy I was obsessed with was effeminate. Lance from, like, I loved David Hyde Pierce. I loved him. But like thinking back, it's like you wanted to be him.
You are such a nerd. I know.
I wanted to be him because he was so in love with Daphne. And I thought that was so cool to be like an effeminate guy with a girlfriend. What?
Yeah.
And like, you know, and so all of these things. And I think I didn't know about transness. So I was like, well, I'm queer in some way. So it's got to be bisexual. But then I still am bisexual. But it was very small. And also it was things that I was like, I couldn't possibly. Like, I was like, well, I couldn't possibly cut my hair. And then you do it and you're like, okay, I couldn't possibly change my name. That would be so crazy. That would be so annoying to people. Then it was easy. I couldn't possibly change my pronouns. That would be so annoying to people. A lot of it was not wanting to inconvenience others.
Right, right. There's your mother.
Yeah. And also, like, I just was like, well, it would be crazy. Like, every step of the way, I would take months being like, that would be so nuts if I did that. And then I would pull the trigger and I'd be like, that was actually fine. And now it's so normal.
When you pulled the trigger on these steps, were you like relieved per step? Like,
Yeah, it was and I take it for granted now because it's so normalized and I try really hard not to. Like, I try to think, like, even I've said, like, even if I went back to being a woman, I'm so glad I don't have tits. Can you imagine? So cumbersome, so annoying.
Yeah.
And
I have them. I have them.
It's funny because my aunt was like, I wish I had top surgery. And I was like, you can get it. It doesn't matter. But cis people can get that if they want. But it just was like, and then I put a shirt on and I'm like, oh yeah, remember I used to have boobs? That's so weird. But like at the time I was like, I couldn't possibly. Or like when I hear my, like there's like a TV character with my old name and people will be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like if that comes on or something. And I'll be like, I don't even register it as my name.
Right.
Like it doesn't even ping for me as somebody's talking to me.
Right.
So like, it's just so funny. Like it just, so I try really hard to like take stock of what's become normalized and not take it for granted and be like, you know, all the, like all these things that I thought were impossible or like, I look back on old pictures of myself or like we reposted an old episode of the podcast and all the fans were like for the holidays, all the fans were like, who the fuck is that talking? And then even my co-host, we got like an episode back and my co-host was listening back to it. And she wrote back to the editor, who is this? And
that's
the editor
crazy.
Was like, that's Gabe. And my co-host was like, what? In the ads, we had to like redo the ads because it doesn't sound like me.
Right. And what is it when you, I mean, there is stuff on the internet.
I know.
Before Gabe.
I know.
What is
more than not?
Yeah. Now, what does that feel like when you, I don't know if you watch it or.
Sometimes.
Yeah. When you look at that other person, what does it feel like?
I mean, I think I'm like, she existed. She seemed like she was having a good time. Like, I do think it was a lot of, because I was a very like peacocky woman. I always had bright hair colors, bright makeup, little dresses. Like, I remember I was like, who was she? I went into BuzzFeed like to work in an office that with these like red stripper heels that I had bought on Melrose that I thought were like appropriate for work. Like a lot of my, what I dressed like as a woman, a lot of it was a little bit of a come at me, bro. Like I'd be like, what are you going to say? You're going to tell,
because
what are
you
gonna
tell me? Because you wanted that. You wanted that interaction where you could say, no, I'm not also, who you think I am. Yeah.
It was drag. I mean, I was in drag. Like,
yeah.
One of the big clues was with my ex, I would say, whenever I would like shave my legs, I'd be like, ooh, a woman. Have you ever seen a woman? She's a woman. Or I would like get all dolled up in my like little drag thing. And I'd be like, wow, look at this woman. Like, ooh, the full. One time my ex was like, you literally got dressed up and then said, I'm giving you the lady experience. And he was like, what? Like women get dressed and they don't think, ooh, look at this costume I've put on.
Right, right, right. Which is, I've heard you say Halloween is your favorite holiday. And I think that for a lot of trans people, Halloween is their favorite. Because when they were kids, they could finally, for one day.
Yeah.
You talked about, I heard you talk about being bi and being trans, which is so interesting because for the first time in your life, you're actually dating gay men.
On the apps.
Right. And also, I thought it was so interesting when I heard you say, you know, when you're trans and you're with someone and they don't know you're trans when you're
talking to them. Yeah. You're,
yes. And then you go home with them and they freak out and they hate you, you know, which will happen.
Yeah. I mean, I would never, it's harder for a trans guy to do that, although you can get bottom surgery. I would never not tell someone. I also don't pass. That's the other thing. But like people I know who do pass.
Yeah, you talked about passing versus not passing. Mm-hmm. You said you're jealous of people who can pass, but they have their own kind of hell as well.
Yeah, where like, you know, it's interesting. My boyfriend is also trans and he passes. And he also had small
enough. Is he Jewish?
No.
Fuck. Come on, Gabe.
He didn't even know enough about Jewish people to know the stereotypes. He was like, he's from a small town in the state of Washington. And he was like,
oh God.
When I'll be like, well, you know, they say Jews talk a lot. And he was like, do they? Like, he doesn't even have any idea. Oh my God, Judy, the funniest thing happened. I was talking about anti-Semitism and I was like, yeah, they think that Jews all own really expensive apartments in Manhattan. Can you believe that? And he was like, oh, is it because you own apartments in Brooklyn? And I was like, what? And he was like, that's where you guys are, right? In Brooklyn? And I was like,
oh my God.
Oh no.
That's amazing. You know, I'm dealing a lot with the you have to deal with the anti-Semitism and the transphobia.
Yeah. But I was going to say, so And so his thing I'm like, they won't even talk to me because they know I'm trans. And he's like, well, imagine you're talking to someone and vibing, you mention you're trans and then they stop talking to you.
Yeah.
And I was like, right. That does seem bad as well.
Right. It's a complete rejection. It's like you know, and it's so, what's interesting about that is those people are completely cutting themselves off. If you are relating to someone and you know, sparks are flying and then you're like, that is that other person's huge fucking problem that you can't deal with that part of yourself. Thoughts on, I don't know if I should even bring this up.
What, the anti-Semitism going on right now?
And also the Queers for Palestine. And the anti-Semitism and this, you know, it's so hard, I find, to be nuanced in this argument, or not argument, to say, you know, look, I'm a Jew. I don't want anything bad to happen to innocent people on either side of this situation. Yeah. I do want Hamas obliterated.
I will say one thing that has been interesting, and I obviously, like, I don't want Palestine to be blanket rocket bombed. I think that's horrendous.
Right.
But it is horrible. Interesting. Yeah. I will say that one thing that is interesting is that as a Jew, I grew up hearing about Hamas. I grew up hearing about Hamas. This is not new to me. I've seen these problems go back and forth constantly. I lost a friend in high school to a suicide bombing. I heard about suicide bombings. Yeah, it was crazy. It was a big one. It was like on the news and stuff because an American was killed. So it was like huge. Mm-hmm. It was like the Israeli embassy and the diplomats. And it was like this huge thing that this American had been killed in a suicide bombing. And it was like really jarring at my school. And it like really defined a lot. I had a lot of people die at my high school, and it was a very small school. But he passed away very violently. And it was awful. And it like blanketed my high school time. It was like a big moment. And so it's interesting to talk to people who kind of found out about this in October.
Right. And are now experts. Also.
Yeah, it is. And like, I get it, but it's, and I get it. And I know that it's all horrible, but it feels a little disorienting. Like I get that there's no nuance to like a genocide, and I like totally understand that, but it is slightly disorienting to speak to people who are like, can you believe this? And I'm like, yeah, I can.
Right.
It in fact has been going on since I remember hearing about this in the third grade. Like,
right.
This is 30 years or more of me hearing about Hamas did this, then Israel did this back, then Hamas did this, then Israel did this back.
Right.
Like, this is not new. So it's sort of interesting that it's become the cause du jour when there are other genocides going on. And I'm sure people like everyone was super into Darfur forgot about it.
Yeah. Everybody. And I do believe a lot of this is anti-Semitism. And I I'm a generation before you. My father served in World War II. So I've been hearing, you know, I think anti-Semitism that really fucking drives me up a fucking wall. You know,
I think some people are very genuine, and I think some people are like, now's our time. And I also think that I grew up around a lot of Zionism for better, for worse in terms of my ability to parse through this stuff. And, you know, they get you at a certain way. Like my grandparents were in the Holocaust. We lost like almost everyone. It's kind of a weird thing where I was at like a wedding. I was at a wedding, and the mother of the groom is a nutcase. And she was like, she kind of tries to get you in certain ways. So she was like, oh, can you believe, like, I'm sorry, our side is so small. All of my relatives died. She's not Jewish. And I said, oh yeah, if I got married, my side would be really small too, due to the Holocaust. Because I can go toe-to-toe. You want to be weird? I'll be weird right back.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a thing that people don't think about. So, I mean, I have a different experience, right? I speak Hebrew. I'm in a WhatsApp group with a lot of people who are in Israel. I have had a person I know pass away in a suicide. I think there is a difference in Judaism. I think there are Jews who I was sort of figuring out in the last few months are mostly Seinfeld Jews. They're Jews who I don't know how to explain it, but they're, and I don't mean Seinfeld the man, I mean Seinfeld the show. Like, they're Jews who are like,
they never talk about, you know, they never mentioned they were Jewish on that show, and yet they were so Jewish.
Right. Or they're Jewish now, and they're like, I'm Jewish, so my opinion holds this weight, which it absolutely does. And I think it's great for Jewish people to be like, please do not genocide. But it also is interesting because I feel, again, a little disoriented, because I think people speak to me as though I am just like a Hollywood Jew, and they don't realize, like, when I talk to a lot of people my age, they're like, well, we're all atheists. And I'm like, no, And they're like, what? And I was like, I go to synagogue. Yeah. I speak the language. This was like in October was when a lot of people in my life almost realized I was Jewish.
Right.
And not Jewish in a way that was like Seinfeld Jew, but
Seinfeldy. Yeah.
They were like, not I'm religious, the same way. But they're like,
yeah, but I'm,
oh
yeah,
you're Jewish. Yeah. You know, people yeah. in Israel and you
right.
talk to people there and you, and like, again, like that doesn't make me a Zionist in any way. But it's a connection to the situation that is I found to be different than my peers. And I agree with them.
I
absolutely agree with them, but I'm coming at it from a place that is a little bit more entrenched than I found
right.
my
you
peers
have,
to be.
You have facts and nuance and you
and
know,
I might be wrong. Also, there's a thing where right. like I might be just totally I'm not even, I fully stand with them and I fully understand and I get it. But what has, and I'm not saying this has colored my opinion in any way, but it is jarring for people to suddenly be like, oh, you're like Jewish. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's where the anti-Semitism, because I know this will, may upset you. I am a Zionist. I believe Israel has a right to exist and they have a right to defend themselves. Yeah.
Okay.
But I also think the Palestinians deserve their own place. And I, you know, have always been a two-state solution. It's a nuanced thing because I don't want anything bad happening to them. I mean, it's just, it's,
I do think, I think that it's, I'm very anti-military. Like, I'm not being like,
yeah.
I'm not like in any situation. I'm not like, thank God the U.S. Army went into Iraq. Like, I'm not
right.
I think that there should not be carpet bombing. I think that we've got too many weapons. And I just was like listening to this 6-part podcast about Henry Kissinger.
Right.
And like, there's too many weapons. There's too much defense funding. There's too like, I don't even want the U.S. defending themselves in that way. Like, I don't want.
Yeah.
I think that the military spending is what has caused all of these problems. And Israel has become extremely like militaristic with like overuse of weapons, overuse of bombing. And so like, I don't want any country doing that. We all saw Oppenheimer, but I don't want like any country doing that.
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I don't want anybody doing any of that.
I agree.
So
I'm with you on that.
So I've always been very like anti-war, anti-military. Although then it's even harder because I understand why people join the military in the US because we don't have economic things in
right.
place and we don't make it easy for them to have any other options, which I feel is on purpose. My sister-in-law joined the Navy because she wanted to be a doctor and she didn't know how to pay for that. Like it's all connected to poverty and to like brainwashing and economic
inequality. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all, I sound like a conspiracy theorist, but it's all tied together. And I think that leads to genocides in a lot of places. And,
yeah.
And so I
it's
don't,
just, for
I,
me, yeah.
I don't
just
want
find
there
it
to be a genocide, but I also think logistically, where is everyone going to go? But I'm not a geopolitical expert, but I
right.
just, it's also interesting who, I don't know. I feel like I have to unpack some stuff, but I also
yeah.
feel closer. Like the day that it happened, my WhatsApp group was going nuts looking for people that I went to school with. That is
right.
a different experience
yep.
than the Seinfeld Jews are having.
Yeah.
That's not to say it's good or bad.
I'm using that.
Experience.
Can I steal that?
Yeah.
Can I steal Seinfeld Jews?
Yeah. It's just a different experience because
yes.
I think it's very easy for someone who has no connection to the place to say,
right.
well, yeah, get rid of it. But I think it's harder.
I
am brainwashed, you know? Maybe losing someone in a suicide bombing has colored everything for me. I don't know. But it's
of
different.
Of course it has.
It feels
you
different.
It can't not. Like, I was just there on an LGBTQ plus mission with the Wider Bridge. And I was there in June.
Yeah.
And, you know, we marched in the Jerusalem parade and, you know, whatever. But
yeah.
I I was reaching out to my friends there. Right. You know, we are all, as Jews, even the Seinfeld Jews, you're 1 degree of separation away from someone living, you know.
I just think, yes, but it is interesting because I think there is a cultural, I think there's a lot of cringy stuff that people are doing. The pro-Israel people are really, sometimes I see stuff and I'm like, this is not helpful. Please stop.
Right.
This is going to cause anti-Semitism, actually, because you're equating it so much with anti-Zionism that now we're going to have problems. But I also think it's hard because I agree with their point, and I'll see pro-Palestinian people post something and I'll be like, yes,
but
I agree with you.
But you can't. Here's the problem.
Like, this is an example, is they were citing a biblical thing that I grew up learning the Torah. So I know the context for that phrase, and they'll be like, oh my God, can you believe this phrase? Which I understand is bad, and I understand proves their point, and I understand is their point that they're making is important and needed, and it's an emergency because people are being genocided. But I know from having studied Torah for 20 years that that is actually being taken out of context, but I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or if that's just causing more, then it makes it look like I'm a Zionist. Like, I don't know. Like, a friend of mine posted something that was like, oh, Gal Gadot changed her name to be more Israeli. That makes her a colonizer or whatever. And I know there was a thing that was like, this was what it was. It was like, Benjamin Netanyahu's real name is this. So he's not even Jew. Like, it's not a Jewish name. And I know that that's not true, that they're confusing it with his grandfather.
Right.
But is it like, but then if I message that person and say that's not true, it's not that I'm Zionist. It's not that I'm pro,
Palestine.
It's that I'm trying to be like, you're saying the wrong thing and your message is getting fucked up. But like,
you know what I feel like there, you know, because I've tried to explain to other people and they just come back at me like, and it's like, you don't want to know. Like the term pro-Palestine, like I'm pro-Palestinian, I'm anti-Hamas. So I hate that, you know,
I want the people who are fighting against genocide to have all of the correct information. But I also am like, okay, so is it better for them to fire this off as an emergency to stop people being carpet bombed? Or is it better for them to have the right information? And is it worth it for me to say something? And
I think the right information, I mean, you're a journalist. That's what I also wanted
to say.
I know,
but like, it feels like fighting semantics, but it also is a little bit difficult for me to see stuff that I know is slightly off. But I also know that people don't know it's slightly off because they don't have the education that I have. So is it even worth, like, I don't know. We're not going to solve it here.
I know. I'm getting like, we have to wrap it up. But I
know
we have
to wrap up. Yeah.
I know, but I love you.
Hey everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay, I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
I wanted, next time we talk, I really want to get your thoughts on the media and how they fucked up this country.
Yeah.
And the world.
I have a lot of thoughts on that.
Oh, God. Okay. So here's the last two questions that I ask all my podcast guests.
Okay.
All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Number one, I know you're bipolar. You're bipolar. You're bisexual.
And bilingual.
What do you do? And bilingual.
Yeah. Woo! I know all of them.
What do you do for your mental health? We're a very pro mental health podcast. What do you do for your mental health? Besides, I mean, I'm on drugs.
Yeah. Know. Well, right now I get fixated on stuff. Right now I play two games on the internet called Cinema Grids and Movie Grids. Can't recommend them enough. And it's just like making, connections like this actor was in this movie with this, or like trying to be like, what is a movie that, you know, this director has done that is one word. Like, so it just turns my brain off where I'm just I'm a movie, I'm a cinephile. So I'm just like, and then I'm upset if I can't get, if I'm like, how come I don't know what movie Amy Adams did? Blah, blah, blah. So,
right.
You know. That's where I can focus my anger.
Yeah. And then, you know, the podcast is called Kill Me Now, although I really kind of want to change it because it's not the full breadth of what we do here. But the reason it's Kill Me Now is because I get annoyed at every fucking, I am my mother times 1,000 where I get so annoyed at shit. So what pisses you off more than anything that makes you so fucking crazy? And it could be anything. But what really makes you fucking mad?
Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I have a list of people I hate. On my podcast, it's like a top five types of people I hate, and it changes all the time. But number three consistently is child vlogger, influencer, mommies that put their kids on the internet.
Oh, I love that.
That is consistently number three. And then one, two, four, and five changes. But three is always mommy vloggers, family vloggers. No, fuck that.
I am 150%. Like when I go, well, we don't go on auditions anymore. We go on tape. But when I would go and I would see these mothers with their kids and they're like, go over it again. Go over it. And I was like, oh my, what the fuck are you doing?
Awful.
Gypsy Rose Lee. What the fuck?
Yeah. It's horrible. Yeah. I hate it.
I hate it too. It's bad parenting. Gabe, you are fucking phenomenal.
Oh,
you're so fucking
you.
Smart. I really wanted to see you when I come to LA.
Okay.
Oh, look at how you go. Okay. Yeah. I'll work that out. But you're just great. And your content, you're just putting out quality. I love you. You're great.
Thanks.
Where can people find
you? I'm stressed out all the time.
I know. Same. Where can people find you?
Well, I don't know when this comes out, but I'm working on my debut feature film and we're fundraising right now. So you can go to my Instagram at Gabe S. Dunn, and there's a Seed and Spark that you can please donate to. But also, either way, we're shooting in March, but I would love to have the money to do so.
Yeah, this will be on before then.
Well, we locked in the location and all the crew and all the actors, so it's happening whether I like it or not.
I'm so proud of you. That's so
Thanks.
Great.
Thanks. If anyone wants to invest in the movie, let me know.
Yeah. Gabe S. Dunn.
Yeah. Gabe Shane Dunn.
Gabe Shane.
Gabe, thank you. So I can't thank you enough.
Oh, of course.
You're great.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Gabe.
Of course.
Thank you so much for listening to part two of my interview with the amazing Gabe Dunn. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling, and marketed and whatevered and scheduled and everything by Brittany Jo Sowards Richman. If you have not subscribed and left a review, please do so. Please. It really helps. It does help. What else do I have to tell you? I do have some gigs coming up, but I'm not sure they are 100%. So I'm not telling you what they are, but one could be in Minneapolis on the 21st, or in Bloomington, Minnesota. Yeah. So that's what's going on. What else do I have to say? I don't know. Nothing. I hope we get more hostages. I'm really sick of the Biden-Trump thing. I'll get into that in my rant next week. I don't know. I just hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. And I just want to thank you all so much for listening. And as we always say, so long. Oh, the Super Bowl. I never said anything about the Super Bowl. They won. Kansas City. It was fun. We watched it at the Comedy Cellar. I can't believe I just ended and then came back. No one's going to hear this unless they listen to the end. So thank you for listening to the end. So yeah, I forgot to talk about the Super Bowl, but who cares? And as we always say, so long.